You're listening to New England Public Radio News. I'm Adam Frenier, and this is the shortlist NEPR's Week in Review. With us today in studio, Veteran Valley journalist Kristen Palpini, and on the line, Larry Parnas, investigations editor with the Berkshire Eagle. Kristen, Larry, thanks for being with us today.
Thanks, Adam.
You're welcome.
We start this week with the Massachusetts House passing an education bill which is designed to push $1.5 billion into school districts over 7 years. This legislation differs from a Senate version, which would give state officials less say over how to deal with underperforming districts. House Education Chair Alice Peisch says it's important districts be held accountable.
Unfortunately, we have seen examples where, I look at Lawrence as the perfect example of a city that was receiving a lot of money from the state, and yet under the purely local control, there was not very good education offered to those students.
So, Kristen, the House and Senate will have to work out their differences on this. What about this key difference between the bills?
I mean, it's quite a wedge. Very polar opposite sides, but I think that she's right, that there does need to be this state oversight because we've seen what happens when there's not for over many years. So while I think it's important that they listen to local, especially out here in Western Mass, where it's so different than Eastern Mass, they need to take that input seriously.
Larry, with dwindling enrollments for rural districts like many in the Berkshires, how important is it for them to receive this additional funding?
Well, this is particularly important to districts that don't have the ability to raise school dollars from their property taxes. You know, why is it that it's been considered fair play to have your school experience depend on where you live? That's been a problem that's been part of the funding formula since this measure first came through in 1993. They've waited a long time to fix it, couldn't get out of committee last year. The longer you wait, the more complicated the fix can be, and this issue of accountability is one of them. I agree with Kristen that this is a lot of taxpayer money, and it needs to be carefully watched.
Moving on to elections, with 2 weeks before Election Day, a little bit less than that, in Western Mass, let's take a look at the Pittsfield mayoral race. First-term Mayor Linda Tyer is being challenged by City Councilor Melissa Mazzio. Mazzio beat Tyer in the preliminary by 289 votes. Crime's been a big issue in this race, with Mazzio saying Tyer hasn't done enough to curb gun violence. Larry, 4 years ago, Tyer herself beat the incumbent in the preliminary. Now she's on the other side. What's your take on this race?
You know, I just have been watching mayors rise and fall over the years. I think mayors are particularly vulnerable early in their careers and late in their careers when people get tired of them. I think Mazzio's approach on raising crime as a sort of a pivotal issue in her campaign could be monumental. It could have some meaning if people think she's really serious about it. I think she does connect with people when she raises questions about some kinds of judicial reform and whether there's a sense of leniency. That may not be a very forward-thinking or accurate view of what causes crime, but you know, I think on crime is such an emotional issue. I think people get a little tribal in the way they vote with it, and if they feel that Mazzio is the one who's going to work harder on this, I think she could be pull off a surprise here.
Kristen, compared to two other Western Mass communities where incumbent mayors are also running in Springfield and North Adams, Pittsfield's race has been the most hotly contested, with a lot of debates, a lot of back and forth. Why do you think that's the case?
Gee, that's a good question. I think that, well, Springfield, they don't do too much debating. I don't think Sarno.
Mayor Dominic Sarno has pretty much decided he's not going to in this this particular race.
Yeah, right. That seems like a pattern there. But in Pittsfield, I feel like there is a lot of energy right now, a lot of excitement, and people are getting more involved in the community than they have been in years. So it makes sense that people are coming out and people are interested, and that you have two good candidates vying for this job.
We next turn to an Associated Press story this week about some college students in medical fields who are using medicinal marijuana. Some of them are subject to drug screening as a requirement of their majors, and that's causing them some trouble. There have been students expelled for failed drug tests, or they've been barred from clinical instruction. And a similar case at Sacred Heart University in Connecticut involving a Massachusetts woman was actually settled. Kristen, has this any of this come as a surprise to you?
It doesn't come as a surprise because, you know, we've been hearing about these kind of little blips for a while. You know, you're on medical marijuana, but when you go in to get your surgery, You know, if you have THC in your blood, you know, maybe, you know, they can't give you that surgery because they're not sure how that's going to interact with the anesthesia or something like that. So you find like these little pockets. You know, it's fine to be on medical marijuana, but if you're a nurse, you're training for a nurse, well, maybe not. So it's not surprising to see that. But if we're going to say marijuana is a medicine, and we are saying that, then we got to treat it like one, and we can't hold people back.
Larry, what about the argument that some colleges have put up saying that they're worried about losing federal funding if they allow students to use medical marijuana since it's against federal law?
Well, you know, people can be worried about a lot of things, but they should do the right thing and they should support their students. And I agree with Kristen that, you know, a recognized medicinal use of marijuana, it seems to be tripping up people in the health sciences field who are required to do some drug testing. You know, Joe and Jane Average, college student just doesn't tick that box so they don't get in trouble. I think this is a time when we're lurching to and fro on change in terms of attitudes about cannabis. And I think if John Boehner can become one of the leading advocates, the former House Speaker, and now be on the board of a big cannabis company, if he can change, anybody can.
We wrap up this week with home prices in Massachusetts. Sale prices have been up this year, and there's been large gains in two Western Mass counties. The median sale price in Franklin and Berkshire counties is up well over 7% and about 5% in Hamden County. Larry, about 25 seconds. Home prices in Western Mass are still much cheaper than the eastern part of the state, but what might this trend indicate?
Well, prices go up and prices go down, and Tim Warren, the Uber statistician on this stuff, said that they'll continue to inch upward until the economy hits a bump in the road, quote unquote. And we know that that is coming. So I think people pay a little too much attention to these price changes.
Last word, Kristen?
I think it points to the issue we're having with housing stock there. There isn't enough for folks right now, and that's going to keep pushing the price up.
All right, Kristen Palpini, a Veteran Valley journalist, and Larry Parnas of the Berkshire Eagle, thanks for coming by today.
Thanks.
Great to be with you.
And thank you for joining us for the shortlist NEPR's Week in Review. Don't forget, you can listen to us whenever you want at Apple Podcasts or by going to nepr.net/podcast hub. I'm Adam Frenier, and this is New England Public Radio.